to sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank. Want to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my left.
From our very own studios in the sprawling region of central Pennsylvania. Yes, central Pennsylvania.
And sprawling.
Formerly Harrisburg.
We've correct.
Grown so much that the capital region or Harrisburg doesn't even work anymore.
It's more fitting.
Even more fitting. Now, I am your host, Taylor, the prickling prawn ranker, here with my co-host today, Nathan Anclominus Magnificus Imboden. Now, the Shrimp Tank's a podcast where we interview the best and the brightest entrepreneurs and business owners from all across central PA. And here at the Shrimp Tank, we honor those who did build that. Yep. This is where Book Smarts meets Street Smarts. It's a podcast by business owners for business owners. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to bring in our special guest today, Laura J. Martin of SVN Lattice Realty. But before we do that, let's chat a little bit, Nathan Magnificus, about what's going on in the world today, young man.
Well, Taylor, there's one thing that comes to my mind when we think about today's topic. Do you know what that is?
Not a clue.
Oh, this is ladies' night, and the feeling's right. Oh, yes, it's ladies' night. Oh, what a
night.
There it is. Good bass. That was Barry White-esque. That is nice. All right, so, Taylor, you showed me an article earlier this week about females and executive and board-level positions and how that kind of landscape is changing across a lot of different industries. I think industrials, manufacturing, technology, we're starting to see a bigger shift away from what was traditionally male-dominated seats, particularly on boards.
Yep.
And we're starting to see some more equity from females in those spaces, which is really cool. And especially now when we're, well, fresh off of the women's U.S. national team, winning the World Cup, and now that's starting to push conversations around equal pay.
Specific. What got my attention was specific to the real estate piece.
Correct.
Real estate REIT industry. I don't know if you're headed there, but
yes,
that was what really got my attention.
Well, so I know you have some familial ties to
feminine rights
and feminism.
So I grew up in a household, think about this, in conservative York, Pennsylvania in the 60s and 70s. And my mother, great parents, very open-minded. My mother was a charter member of NOW, right? So she was one of the founding members of the National Organization for Women. So that's just, I just thought that was normal. Think about that.
Right.
And I loved it. At the age of 7, she had a bumper sticker, and it said, "Please don't upset God, she'll kick your ass." I just thought that was just how life rolled, and I didn't realize how special my family or upbringing was.
Yeah.
So that article and what's happening, my sister was a great athlete, quite frankly, better athlete than me, probably better human being than me. So for me, particularly, well,
I'm going to plead the fifth. I'm pleading the fifth.
So for me, this is a particularly special time.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's this, I think, barrier, or the term I think a lot of times uses, these glass ceilings, right, that are starting to be broken around these good old boys clubs. And if you're not part of the club, you can't break in. And it's really nice to see those kind of patterns starting to shift, those stereotypes hopefully starting to be broken down a little bit, because the article that you showed me was showing that certain industries are actually seeing 50% of the board positions on real estate investment trusts specifically are starting to be occupied by females, which is fantastic. I think it's a huge step forward, a great step in the right direction. I just wish at times we as a podcast would have the ability to bring on guests that might be able to speak some relevancy to the topics we you know, discuss in the beginning. Oh. Well, what do we have here? We do have a female executive in the real estate world here on our show today.
Well, think about that. One of the reasons I introduced the show as the sprawling region, and I mean this sincerely, is there's a ton of talent in this area. Lancaster, York, right. All around, but you wouldn't necessarily know it. I'm not from here. I moved here later in life, and so there's some great people, some genuine great leaders.
Yeah,
but it is sprawling.
Correct. It's sprawling. Well, it's. I think some people have described it as fractured. Is that a good description?
Yeah.
Yep. You have all these areas that make up Central Pennsylvania, but they're also, you know, Carlisle, York, Harrisburg, Mechanicsburg, the, what is that thing called? The Susquehanna.
Susquehanna,
that's right. The Great Divide.
I remind people that I moved here from the West Coast. Get over yourself with that stupid river already.
That's right.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Laura, are you from this immediate era?
No. Newport, Rhode Island.
Oh.
Okay.
So you probably are somewhat sensitive to what we're talking about. It's just that it's a great area, but it's fractured. So
I've never actually understood that.
Yeah.
So you have felt
it a bit?
Yes, absolutely. People don't want to cross the river.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, exactly.
So I remember a few years back, I had somebody, our office was literally on the river, and they would not come to a meeting in the office. It took them, I MapQuested it, 7 minutes to get to our office, but they wouldn't do it because it required crossing
the river.
Yeah.
Well, when we moved our head office from the East Shore to the West Shore, we had a few clients complain, and we had to abruptly remind them that you didn't need to paddle anymore. You could drive.
Yeah, that's right. They have these things called bridges.
Bridges and cars.
So. Well, we want to make sure to get Laura on the show. Before we do that, I just want to remind you, my name's Nathan Imboden. I'm the co-host alongside beautiful co-host Burgundy, Mr. Big Burgundy.
Maybe Plum.
Plum Ranker.
Plum.
Hey, you can find a full replay of this broadcast with Laura Martin today on our website, a new website at shrimptankpodcast.com/centralPA. Also, be sure to subscribe to our channel on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, basically everywhere you can get a podcast to keep up to date with all the amazing entrepreneurs we get to interview on this show. So now we have the privilege of bringing Laura Martin onto the show and actually doing a formal introduction. So, Laura, why don't you tell us a little bit about, first, the company, SVN Lattice, correct?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what is SVN Lattice? What do you guys do? Who do you serve?
So SVN Lattice is located in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, and we're a full-service commercial real estate company. So anything commercial real estate related, we will do.
So that could mean property management, development?
Yes.
Sales, buying, selling?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Leasing?
Everything.
Is there anything I missed? Or does that cover a lot of it? That's as
I consulting, due diligence. I have my WBE, so I do some work on government contracts also.
Oh.
So we have kind of a whole host.
Yeah. WBE. All right. So
it's a woman business.
Yeah.
Yep.
So okay.
Very cool.
Yeah. So all right. Do you have a specialty or a niche that you tend to work more with in commercial real estate?
In this market, most people are generalists because the market's not that big. If I was in Philadelphia or New York, I would specialize. But I do find trends. Some years it's more land. Some years it's more medical. So.
Okay. So essentially, you have to keep up with what the market is telling you to do.
Right.
Yeah. So how did you get into real estate? And maybe that would actually, a better question would probably lead into your background. So you already mentioned you're not from Central PA. So how did you get to Central PA?
Messiah College.
All
right.
What a fantastic school. We may be biased, but it is a fantastic school.
I know.
You know, when I left Halifax, I said, I need to really branch out and hit the major metropolis of Grantham, Pennsylvania. And I just did. I spread my wings to Grantham. But all right, so you landed at Messiah, and then you've stayed here ever since?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what kept you here?
I met my husband at Messiah, and he's from Southern California.
Okay.
And when we got married, he had a job with IBM, so we stayed put.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. All right. So what did you study at Messiah?
Business and marketing.
Okay. So it's the marketing aspect probably both would tie into real estate, but how did you actually get into real estate itself?
I kind of fell into it. I was working in Lancaster for a company, and when I was living down in Grantham, and I was just looking to make a change, and it happened to be a private family on the West Shore that has a lot of real estate, and so I went there, and it's funny because my mom, who was a residential realtor, and told me never to get into real estate. So,
well, but we like to not listen to our parents, I think, as kids. Yes. So that's,
well, she did really well. I mean, she put all five of us kids, I'm one of five, through private Christian colleges in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Yeah, but I'm the only one that stayed here.
That's amazing.
So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there was a residential real estate tie. Did she ever do any commercial?
No, I grew up on an island, and it was pretty small. And
okay, so there wasn't much commercial there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be some similarities. Obviously, there's major differences, but are there similarities between the residential and maybe, have you ever dealt in the residential side, or has it always been commercial?
Just really my own personal things, or helping out friends, or when I had worked for this private family, I did a little bit of work for them residentially.
Okay.
They're really pretty different. I feel like it's a disservice if I did residential, because it's two different animals.
All right. Can you elaborate on that? How is it different?
By the way, having been in business 31 years, I agree, but I'm anxious to hear you share your thoughts, because I hear that and I'm like, yeah, they are different. And I wouldn't want the person selling or marketing my home per se to be finding 10,000 square feet for my business.
So residential, it's a lot more competitive. I think there's like 2,000 residential agents in this market, and there's like 100 commercial realtors.
Wow.
So the competition is stiff. And I think that's why my mom told me not to get into it, because it was so competitive, and you know, you were always running into the same people fighting for the same deals.
Right.
I always feel like there's enough business to go around personally, but that's because I'm dealing with 100 people, not 2,000.
Sure.
Right.
Does the commercial real estate side have the same, I don't know if it's struggle, challenge, I don't know how you would describe it, on the residential side, where you have a lot? I think there's part of the reason why there's such a large number of residential realtors is because there's a decent number that do it part-time or on the side. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, it's a shorter cycle.
Yeah.
So commercial deals take a lot longer too. So it is a barrier to entry to a lot of people.
Yeah. So what's an average deal time? Is there an average deal time?
I mean, they can happen quicker. It there's so many variables. The biggest thing is getting an appraisal and financing on the commercial side. But if you're doing development, it can take 2 years or more.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, so most folks entering into the residential side, they need a commission.
Right.
They need to get paid.
Right.
So they couldn't endure that. You mentioned the barrier to entry. I was thinking that term. Is the licensure or the process to actually get in, is it the same or is that different?
It's the same, which is when you sit for a test, it's mostly, even the training is mostly, the classes you take or required to take really are primarily focused on residential.
Got it.
So it's licensure.
Probably speaks to why you've gone above and beyond and gotten all the designations, because that does separate you.
Well, some of it is being a, you know, shrimp in a shark tank kind of thing. Being a female, it is a male-dominated industry, and I'm not a feminist, but just kind of reality. There are very few women in the industry, and I just felt like, you know, I needed that next level. Plus, I didn't work for a larger firm in the area. I started my own company, so I just felt like I needed the designations to just back up my commitment to the industry.
Yep. Right. You know, prove or validate that you were legit. And
right. And I've always been someone, every year I try to do something educational. So I try to find something that's going to just expand my horizons and meet new people and learn new things.
I do too. I make sure to go to different vineyards every year. But no, sorry. Kidding.
You succeed. Good job.
Well, she mentioned something there I want to dive into that you started, right? So can you talk a little bit about the genesis? Like, that's amazing to me that you just start a business and sort of its journey to today.
So I worked for a private family for quite a while, and then when I was having my first daughter, she's gonna be 18.
Wow.
I didn't want to work so much. I mean, I think I was the last person in the office the day I had her. I didn't even know I was in labor. So I did part-time, and then I had another daughter about 19 months later. I did part-time because I didn't want to put them in full-time daycare, and I have no family locally. So we had bought a home based on one income, and when I had my daughter, I just decided I was probably not going to stay. So I had quit, and then they talked me into staying on consulting, and that worked out great for a couple years. I got the kids off and on the bus, and then, you know, now they're older and they're driving. They don't really need me as much.
Right. They still need you.
So I had left, and I had gone for a short time to another firm that had residential and commercial. But right when I got there, I realized it was not a good fit. So I actually, the guy that I started the business with, I had worked together. I did the real estate, and he did the wealth management for this family. And his wife said, you know, he'd like talked about starting a business. So he had started a company, wealth management, and then I came in and joined him, and we had the real estate piece together.
Okay.
So he was not a commercial realtor, but he recognized that wealth management is a big part. Real estate and wealth management, they go
together. Work together, right?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
So is he still part of the firm?
No. In 2011, I wanted my WBE, and he was off. He was doing some other things in Connecticut.
Gotcha.
So we still shared office space for quite a while until I decided I had to move close to home because the kids didn't want a driver. The last year I had a babysitter, I called her a driver. And that was over, so I needed to be closer to home.
Got it.
So
aside from designations, you mentioned a couple times about being in a male-dominated field. What did you do to differentiate yourself as you were building up your business?
Well, I've done to date very little marketing or advertising. Everything was either past clients, referrals from CPAs, attorneys.
I'm intrigued by that. CPAs are, by the way, if you didn't know this, the most trusted advisor that most successful families have. And so CPAs don't dole out referrals easily. How did you cultivate that? That's a difficult barrier.
Well,
you must have been doing something well or right that they trusted you. It's kind of what I'm getting.
I had
at
a lot of great relationships from working for the family that I worked for. And so it was a matter of knowing them and just.
Okay. So there's a history of trust there.
Right.
Okay.
And it was a relationship, it sounds like.
You know, and I would say one thing about me is I am very relationship oriented. I build relationships and I really value them. And if someone's with a company and they change companies, I tend to follow them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Can I go back a little bit? Because when you said Genesis was your own, and that leads me to a question. If you could offer a first-time entrepreneur only one piece of advice, what would that be?
Well, when I worked for this private family, I built a building for them. I used to do the architectural drawings until the state changed the laws. You'd have an architect stamp things. So I used to walk them in downtown. I ordered drywall, doors. I was kind of the general manager, did the property management. And then when I left and decided that I liked working and didn't want to leave it full time, I started this company. And in hindsight, I think I've had a slower ramp up because I should have probably gone to an established company and learned the ropes. I mean, I was holding a sales meeting and I had never even been to a sales meeting.
Let me sort of regurgitate that. What I heard is spend some time at an established firm, learn the ropes before you launch. If
you're going to start your own firm, I would highly recommend that.
Got it. Okay.
Interesting.
Hindsight's 20/20.
It is. Yeah. And that's how we learn. We learn from our experiences. Mm-hmm. Well, look, we need to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And this has already been great content. I'm excited to get into our next segment when we come back from the break, our hot or not segment. So we're going to pepper you with some questions in the industry on whether or not it's hot or not for certain things. And the one thing I know we want to ask is it hot or not to be part of a team or an ensemble? So don't miss Laura's answer when we get back with more of the Central PA Shrimp Tank.
Wouldn't it be great to have someone in your corner fighting for you and your money, fighting for your 401k plan to do better, fighting for you to save money in taxes, to mitigate your taxes every year, fighting for you and to make your investments work harder? Then maybe it's time to go to www.questmont, that's QUESTMONT.com, set up a meeting to see how we can fight for you, your money, and your business. Breathe a little easier about life. So go to www.questmont.com to get started right flipping now.
Welcome back to the Central PA, newly branded Central PA Shrimp Tank, here in our studios in the sprawling region of Central Pennsylvania. I'm your co-host, Nathan Imboden. I can't remember my shrimp name, Imboden.
Incluminus Magnificus Shrimpicus.
Thank you. That's a lot of ickuses.
Bordenada.
I can't. Yes. Alongside Bordenada. Burgundy Plum Taylor Ranker. Hey, find a full replay of this broadcast specifically today with Laura Martin from SVN Lattice on our website at shrimptankpodcast.com/centralPA. Also, subscribe to our channel to get her podcast and podcast with all the other entrepreneurs we have the privilege of interviewing. And we're going to get to our hot or not section right now. And before the break, we started talking, well, we briefly led into this idea of either being solo or part of a team. And you've maybe been on both sides the table. All right. So hot or not to be part of a team versus being solo?
I'd say hot.
Okay.
Could you expand?
Oh, yes, yeah. Please. That would be magnificent.
So I've been kind of a boutique till more recently. It was myself and an assistant primarily, and then a few agents. And then I made a decision about a year ago to join a national, it's actually an international franchise, SVN. So I kind of looked at who's in the market. And the bigger firms, in my opinion, didn't really need that connection to a national franchise, but I figured they were onto something. So I looked into it, and I went to the conference for SVN just to check them out. They'd invited me. When I got there, I learned that they were collaborative, and that was a word that I hadn't put my finger on, but when they said it, it made all the sense to me, because I've always shared half my commissions. I've always worked with other agents. They view them as not competitors, which is a paradigm shift that it made sense to me. And so, as you saw, a year ago, I joined this national franchise. And so we're in a growth mode right now. We're hiring, we're looking for great agents. And I've never wanted someone to go and poach other people's agents, but it's organically, they're just now reaching out to me. So it's been a great thing.
So you said about being collaborative and sharing commissions. So mm-hmm. was that with, you would bring other...
So, in a co-broke situation, I did a deal where I sold a building, and the other agent, you know, he kept 60, gave us 40. I mean, I've always had the feeling it should be 50-50. It's just fairness. Yeah. I had another deal where the guy didn't want to give me anything because I had made the mistake of saying I was giving the money to charity. And so it's a different industry. You have to, some people you have to dot your I's and cross your T's.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but you have to get along with everybody. You have to work with everyone. It's a small market.
I was going to say, and even though the region is sprawling, you're going to run into them again.
Yeah.
You're going to see exactly. those folks again.
Right.
That's a given.
So I do the golden rule. I just treat people how I want to be treated.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So what made you choose SVN and the franchise model? Because there was obviously something that attracted you to just... stepping into that world.
Yeah, the collaboration is huge. I've been very impressed with just their organization, their structure, they brought things to the table that I didn't really have. They just bring all kinds of computer programs and all kinds of...
technology?
Technology. They have the marketing. I was at a point where I was ready to change... you know, the company name, the colors, I was in a good place for that. And it just has made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So.
And that was specific to then being part of a franchise, I guess, was attractive versus mm-hmm. Maybe some other larger local commercial organizations would have had maybe some of that, but it still wouldn't have been yours, right?
I had been approached over the year to join other companies, but I really liked owning my own business, and I didn't want to give that up, so I still own the business.
Okay.
But it just has really expanded our horizons. I'm doing work for some national companies now that previously were not an opportunity for us.
So are you the sole owner currently?
I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So hot or not? Other partners or equity partners?
Not.
Okay. Ooh, now we need to elaborate.
I like making the decisions, and I like being the sole owner.
Okay.
It's just a good fit for me. I mean, I am very collaborative. I want people to be in a work environment that they enjoy, and I try to make it, nice and comfortable. But I'm not really interested in a business partner.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious about culture. Since you like to be part of a team, mm-hmm. Is there anything you do or plan to do or have done to create, for lack of a better term, I'll call it a likable company culture?
Well, one of the guys that came over for some pretty big offices, he commented that I was the nicest person he's ever worked for, which I view as a very huge compliment.
That is, yeah.
Yeah. So I absolutely try to make it a really great culture. We're not competitive in the office. Everyone tries to work together. We're a team. And people work on their own deals, but there's no animosity. There's no politics.
How do you, you're saying that oozes from the top, from you? They just follow
you? I would say leading by example.
Are you careful to filter, agents or employees so that they're not?
I'm super.
And so in other words, somehow you're onboarding the right people is what
I'm
getting.
Right, right. I won't take everyone that knocks on my door. It's got to be someone that's ethical and, in my opinion, that I've had good dealings with, that I've heard good things about. I mean, that's really important to me because I feel like all you really have is your reputation.
Yeah,
I'm not selling a tangible item. I'm selling my skills.
There was a comment you'd made offset that mm-hmm. struck me, really impressed me, because this is sort of a belief of mine. What do you mean by take things personally? I love that.
So I manage a building for an absentee owner, and people think I own the building. So while I don't, I manage it like I do. So if you give me, one time a guy gave me a $100,000 bill with no backup, and I called him up, and I'm like, I can't pay you without backup. I mean, I'm just not going to. So I try to, I do take things personally where if something's not right, I make it right. I had a deal recently that was kind of a disaster, and the commission was very minimal, but I just, I went, I would say above and beyond. I dealt with township people, with concrete people, with sprinkler people, with to make sure this guy got in and got open. And I just, it's the right thing to do.
Your values around that remind me remarkably of a fellow I know who owns Final Focus Productions, helps us produce the show, and he historically treats our money as if it's his. So I love that.
I always have.
So that's what I hear you saying. You treat your clients or agents or employees as if it's theirs.
I do.
And you've always done that?
I have.
Are you sure?
Okay. Positive.
Well, that'd be a little tough.
Hey, yeah. This isn't to plead the fifth, don't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, the saying, what goes around comes around, has to also kind of be in the back of your mind with that, because if you're out there trying to shortchange people and just take advantage of them just to try to get ahead yourself, that will eventually come back to you.
Yep. Right. We have a lot of repeat business, and I think it's because we treat people well and go above and beyond. I mean, it's, you do what you have to do to get the job done.
There was another comment that you had made, again, offset, but it really struck me, and I love it, so I'm bringing this up. Competitiveness in a good way.
So I am competitive. I always say I'm not going to be the richest because I'm going to do the right thing. I could probably write a book about some of my deals, but at the end of the day, I'd try to do the right thing. So I am competitive, but if I don't think it's the right property, I'll tell people that once. And then it's, at the end of the day, it's their money and their decision, but yes. I will not push something on someone that I would not do. And I am pretty fiscally conservative, and I'm entrepreneurial, but I'm not a huge risk taker. I really weigh my risks.
Well, entrepreneurial doesn't mean stupid,
right?
I'm pretty sure if we
calculated for some people. Calculated. Well, for most people,
yeah.
Well, so what you described was, to me, what I heard was being more of an advisor than just an agent. I don't know if there's
And SVN calls their agents advisors.
Okay. So, yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
So how many people do you have in the office right now?
9. Okay. A new girl started today.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Hey, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
All right, so you got 9 in the office. That brings me to a hot or not question, though. Do you think it's hot or not to have family enter the business? Now, you have a unique perspective because of your maybe push away from your mom in this field. But
well, my 17-year-old is going to be a senior, which is very bittersweet, but she wants to get licensed because at 18, she can get her license and show properties. So, but she wants to be a PA, so she won't be joining the family business now. So I'm not opposed to it, but I definitely want them to follow their passion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, I think we're going to take another quick break and hear from our sponsors again. But when we come back, we are going to get into my favorite segment. It's called the Plead the Fifth segment. And we're going to give you one chance to plead the fifth to our questions.
Okay.
And from then on, if you plead the fifth, you got to answer them. So the first question I'm going to ask is, who the most arrogant client Laura has ever worked for? So don't miss her answer when we get back with more of the Central PA Shrimp Tank.
Wouldn't it be great to have someone in your corner fighting for you when it comes to your money decisions? Fighting to get your IRAs working harder for you? Fighting to make sure you don't make bad financial decisions? Fighting to help you get the most out of every paycheck? Then maybe it's time to go to Questmont.com and set up a meeting to see how we can fight for you, your money, and your business. Make sure to search for Life's Peak at Questmont.com to get started now.
And welcome back to the Central PA Shrimp Tank here from our studios in the sprawling region of Central Pennsylvania. I'm your co-host, Nathan Imboden, alongside co-host Taylor Ranker. We're here with Laura Martin today with SVN Lattice, and you can catch a full replay of her broadcast on our website at shrimptankpodcast.com/Central PA. New website for you listeners. It's now /Central PA. And be sure to subscribe to us on any medium where you get your podcasts. So, right, producers? Anywhere.
Anywhere.
It's anywhere.
So Nathan Magnificus Crustaceanus, and Bowden. Can I go backwards?
No.
Oh, crap.
Okay.
I'll allow it.
Well, there was a question.
You need time.
The hot or not section that I really wanted to hit Laura with, and it is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur? We can call your husband.
Crickets.
Should we ask him?
We've both started companies. I'm going to say good.
Okay.
There you go. So what were there challenges that you guys faced? Were you both entrepreneurs together at the same time, or were
no, you running them separately? The funny thing is the office space I'm in Dr. Verber's building on the Carlisle Pike.
Got it.
And they had done like a $2 million facelift on the outside. So I was just being a nosy realtor going to the lobby, looking around. And I ran to the maintenance guy, and he remembered me. And he said, "Your husband's booth suite is empty." And I'm like, "No, it's not." So sure enough, we went up, but they had changed. It was a glass panel before, and now it was a solid wood door, so I didn't go in or knock. But it was gutted. And so I'm like, "I'll take it." So I'm about a mile from my house, which is great with the kids.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is we just expanded across the hall, and he had done that too. So I think he's jealous because the view is amazing. We have a creek cam.
I was going to say, you have a creek cam on your website.
PACreekCam.com.
Yeah. Really cool.
I did move it because they're redoing the Oars Bridge. So we did relocate it so people can follow what's going on the bridge.
Yeah.
Now, here at the shrimp tank, we could probably do puddle cam because it rains a hell of a lot here.
It does. This year's been a lot better, though, in Central PA than
a lot better than what?
Last year. Yeah.
Seattle? Well,
last year.
Rained 21 days in May.
Yeah. Well, but June and July have been better.
That's true.
Look on the bright side, Taylor.
All right.
Come on. Optimism.
I was just getting a little tired of Puddleopolis there for a while.
That's true. Okay. That's true.
Onward and upward.
Okay. Can I ask my question now?
No.
Finally?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, good. All right, Laura. Plead the fifth. Who's the most arrogant client you've ever worked for
with? I didn't think you'd ask that question.
Oh, I'm asking it. And you can plead the fifth. You can say...
I'm very confidential. That's my industry. So I'm not really pleading the fifth, but you can't really talk about people.
That is a plead the fifth.
Is it?
You know, only one person pleaded the fifth faster than you because you stalled it a little bit, and that was Andy the Eye Candy Orins. I had him tap out so fast. Okay, all right, I won't do that. But do you have a typical favorite type of client you like to work with?
I do.
Can you share?
Well, I mean, I tend to deal with higher net worth people. And the nice thing about commercial real estate compared to residential, it's a lot less emotional. It's much more business. It's the numbers. It's right. More factual. So in property management, I have had some fantastic kind of hands-off clients who we share the books with them every month. We mail them a check every month. They have any questions, they call us, but they pretty much, you know, trust us to run the show. So they're not micromanaging us.
Yeah.
So in property management, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So there's a term in business called delegate and elevate, which is what I hear. So clients who are able to do that.
Right.
Emotionally, and walk away and let you do what you do well is an ideal client.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Understand that.
All right. Hot or not in Central PA specifically, office space, office buildings.
There's a shortage of quality space that's priced right. I mean, the price is always, things that aren't selling aren't moving, there is a reason.
Okay. So what are you seeing your most activity in right now in our area?
You know, it depends on the client. I mean, a lot of people are looking for investment properties. I would say the hottest thing right now is people want to buy an investment property.
So is that mainly going to be...
So it could be any kind of building that is occupied with a decent lease and a good return.
Okay.
So but there's no... Rate.
Right now, there's not really... It's just whatever's available. There's no specific industry or...
A lot of the deals that I've done have been offline, sort of things that were not on the market.
So it's all who you know.
It is.
Getting into that club, huh? You're part of the good old girls club now.
I was going to say, maybe we want to be in that. Can we get in that club?
Yeah.
You're probably in the club already. No, <I don't. laughs> Not the girls club, but
the club.
Who you know.
So I always kind of go back to this jump from being an individual, mainly an individual owner, to now having a team. So what challenges have you dealt with being part of a team now, having nine people
finding
in the office?
Finding good people. Okay. I mean, it's finding good people. Yeah.
How do you try to screen or guard against that?
Well, the one guy that came over, the poor thing, we had several different meetings. I think we had a breakfast, a lunch, a drink. You know, I like to see people in different settings. And while you can't fully know someone, I do try to really get to know them to be sure that it's a good fit, because it's a big decision and you wouldn't want them to move and find out that's not the right place for them.
Right.
So
that's true. Well, we can speak to that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with us.
For our business, we've hired. Yep.
And you and me, we went through probably an 18-month vetting and dating before pulling the trigger. And it's you see both sides of it. You see people that jump into things really quickly and realize they made a mistake. I was just with my buddy today who was able to get married like that. His divorce took him 3 years because it was a bad situation. He shouldn't have probably got into it from the beginning. So it's always easier to – it's better to take your time up front before – or than it is to try to unwind something on the
– There was something Laura said that I love there too, which I want to highlight, which is – how did you say that? Interview them in different settings.
Mm-hmm.
So drinks.
What do they say? If you're going to marry someone, take them to a sporting event. You know, like I always say I can take bad news. I don't like surprises. So even with contractors on buildings I manage, you know, right now we're doing a huge project in a building, like six figures, and but it's one of those things where I'd rather know up front than be surprised later.
Yeah. So. But as a business owner myself, I respect that.
Yeah, that is just smart.
Yep.
But how do you guard against it? Because you can't predict everything. So there's going to be surprises, some surprises that come up. But are your surprises are things that you can hopefully avoid, like not.
Yeah, I do the taking, best. The best I can. I mean, I'm fairly good reader of people, I think.
Yeah.
I think women have that gift.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, I mean, overall, it's been good. I'm either kind of black or white. If I'm gray, I really do struggle. But I usually do. What do they say? When you interview someone, you know in the first couple seconds.
Yeah, that's
true. If it's going to be a fit or not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
So.
I have a question. Have you done anything or do you feel you need to do anything about any kind of succession planning?
Not yet, because my kids are still pretty young and I have no – I love what I do. I love no 2 days are the same. I meet all kinds of really interesting people. So, when my mom was residential, I mean, I always loved going through a house and just checking it out, even when I was a kid and I wasn't going to be buying it. But I don't really have any plans for retirement. I like to work. I have a we bought a place in my parents' place in Florida. So, you know, maybe I'll do a little telecommuting when the kids are in college.
There you go.
Okay. In the winter.
Yeah.
Get out of the snow.
Yeah, that's a good. Well, most people in PA like to do that. And who knows? Maybe you start doing, like you said, dabble down there and gives you a reason to go down there and spend more time.
Well, nowadays, honestly, between a computer and a phone, you can pretty much work anywhere.
Right. What do you mean, utilizing technology?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to start a segment called Taylor's technology tips.
Tip of the day.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Taylor's tarted technology tip of the day.
Yeah.
Turn on your phone first. Don't try to Google anything. It doesn't work.
Yes.
I often go and
plug it in.
YouTube and try to Google things, and it's just not.
Yeah, no.
Doesn't work. So.
Well, this has been great, and I think it's fair to say it's a good. You made a good decision by not taking your mother's advice and choosing to get into commercial real estate.
Because
I think you've got a great career, you've got a good life. I know you personally. It's been an honor to know you personally. And
thank you.
So for the listeners that are tuning in right now that want to find out more about your company and the services you provide, what's the best way for them to do that?
Our website is SVN Lattice. So it's L-A-T-U-S is the lattice, svnlattice.com.
And so you know, L-A-T-U-S, S-V-N Lattice. And you also said another plug for the Creek Cam. What's that again?
PACreekCam.com.
PACreekCam.com.
Or through our website, you can get there.
Yeah,
very cool. And it's 24/7. You can see a live feed.
That's neat. That's really neat.
Very cool. Well, again, thank you so much for being on the show, hearing different perspectives, and hearing a little bit about specifically Central Pennsylvania real estate, what's going on in here. And next week on the show, we're going to have a good friend of mine, Ryan Glenn. We were talking about him earlier. Mm-hmm. We met his maybe pseudo twin, Ethan Stone. So I got to talk to him about that. But Ryan Glenn is the franchise owner of Woodcraft. So we're going to get to talk a little bit about more about the franchise model and what that looks like. So I'm excited to talk to him. Again, Laura, thanks for having you on the show. Check out this full broadcast on our website, shrimptankpodcast.com/Central PA. We'll see you next week on the Central PA Shrimp Tank.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank. Shrimp tank.
put it all together. This is big things, doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you can reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the